Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Dr. Carl, a very, very good morning, and thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Dr. Howard. Lovely to be with you.
So it is, of course, Youth Day here in South Africa. It's June the 16th. It's the day that commemorates the Soweto Uprising, and of course, it was when the students protested against Afrikaans being a forced medium of instruction in our schools. So education is what it's about today, and of course that makes it absolutely perfect for what we're talking to you about, which is really education in the world of science. Really fascinating conversations. So the one thing I wanted to start off with is, because we all love a good corpse, don't we? And bacteria's are interesting too. So tell us about bacteria from a corpse.
Yes, so way back in the 500s, we had the Medici family, and they were fabulously wealthy, living in what is today Florence in Italy. And being fabulously wealthy, they sponsored the sciences and the arts, and they got this sculptor bloke called Michelangelo to make an absolutely fabulous set of three sculptures inside the mausoleum for the Medici family to be buried in at the Basilica of San Lorenzo. We're talking 500 years ago. Now, then we get the complication. Lorenzo got buried there, but his son, well, things were kind of messy. And his son had been assassinated by a cousin, so you're thinking, whoops, happening inside the family. And then he had been buried in his father's tomb without removing his internal organs. Mm-hmm. Well, as you would expect, the bacteria inside just started doing all
their
sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as the body decomposed, the stains seeped into the white Carrara marble in all directions via osmosis, and they're basically stuck there for the next five centuries. Every now and then people tried to do this and that to remove the stains. And finally, some scientists said, hang on, I think we've got something that we can do. And so the scientists got three different sets of bacteria. One from a lead and zinc mine. Another from a tannery where they tan leather hides. And the third one was from some soil that was contaminated with diesel fuel. They then made up a little pack after testing it and then put it on the sculptures for 2 nights. And after 2 nights, the bacteria had removed 5 centuries of bacterial staining. So the bacteria giveth and the bacteria taketh away.
Absolutely unbelievable. But it is so interesting, because we're doing a lot more work, it would seem, with older, whether it's corpses or, I don't know, fossils. I read an article the other day that they've brought this worm to life from, you know, I don't know how many millions of years ago, and it can reproduce. Isn't it a bit scary to introduce new organisms to a world that might not know how to cope with them?
Sure. Well, they were there in the past. We're just waking them up, but they are definitely in the wrong time, and evolution has moved on. But if you look at most of the infectious diseases that have attacked us in the last century or so, the overwhelming majority come from us humans disturbing the natural forests. And so that's the case with Ebola virus and AIDS, which came from the chimpanzees and which has killed 30 million people worldwide. SARS-1, MERS, we're still working out SARS-2, Hendra virus in Australia, influenza virus. So many of these viruses are coming anyway from what happens when we humans disturb the natural jungles and bulldoze them down.
So we're in fact causing that. So our worry is less what we're waking up, but more what we are unleashing in terms of our destruction on the planet.
Yes, but there is a message of good hope with regard to the coronavirus and the various vaccines. And so when we started talking about, hey, we have to get ourselves a vaccine, the immunologists and the vaccine scientists were going, oh my God, normally it takes 10 years. What on earth will we do? But there were some scientists who were thinking, oh, come on, guys, we know how to deal with this. We've been dealing with it for nearly 80 years. And these were the scientists who deal in viruses coming from animals. And so it turns out that one of the most common vaccines ever given on the planet is a vaccine that's been given to treat the coronavirus for the last 80 years. Now, the very first infectious bronchitis virus was discovered way back in 1937, and it attacks the airways, but also the kidneys, et cetera, et cetera. It is the major killer of poultry on the planet, and so virtually every commercial chicken on the planet is sprayed, is vaccinated against this virus on their very first day of birth. It's either sprayed into the air. They call it coarse spraying, where they spray it into the air and a lot of it lands on their feathers, which they then clean. That way they get in their system, or they just mix it in with their drinking water. And depending on how long lived the chicken will be, they'll then get vaccinated a few weeks later, and then most of them a few weeks later again. Now this virus, this coronavirus, is constantly mutating, so there are hundreds of different varieties, but there's roughly about 60 that are really nasty, and they're different in different parts of the world. So the situation we have, and we can take an example from this to humans, the situation we have is that by the middle of last year, we had 57 major varieties of this coronavirus that were killing chickens, and we had 57 vaccines which were continually given, and different vaccines were given in different parts of the world, because the ones in China were different from the ones in Japan, which were different from the ones in Australia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we are able to come up with a whole bunch of different vaccines for different parts of the world and still have commercial chickens. And we can do the same thing for humans, and it'll turn up, I'm reckoning, that in different parts of the world every year, you'll have to get a shot of, say, three or four different varieties of the coronavirus that happen to be going around at that time of the year in your part of the planet. And so it'll drop down into a minor background risk, something like influenza, where we just vaccinate against it every year, and we just live with it, having pushed it way, way, way back into the background.
Well, let's hope that is the case, because we are going through our third wave here, and we've actually just increased our lockdown level last night. It's become very, very serious, and I think that little bit of hope is something that we really needed, and just to know, with some perspective, to know that actually this will pass. Before I let you go, I do want to talk about spying and the fact that actually people have been at it for a very long time. Give us a sense of this.
Well, one of my friends started working on this when he was working at the CSIRO. Mm-hmm. That's the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organisation, a government research organisation here in Australia. And he was working on it about a third of a century ago. And what they had discovered, because I was just playing with lasers, mm-hmm. was that if they played the laser beam, an invisible laser beam like infrared, if they played the laser beam onto a window in your house, and you happen to be sitting near that window talking, they could then treat that window like a drum and pick up your speech.
Wow.
Without having to put any bugs inside. Wow. Your house. And since then, the technology has got a lot cheaper and a lot more available. And for a total cost of well under $1,000, you can get an infrared laser and then a decoder and a telescope, and then just shine it at anything, any sort of flat surface, like the glass on a light bulb or an LED light bulb, or the glass on a painting. So what you want is something that's relatively light and rigid, and yet big enough to pick up the vibrations, and then you can tap into what they're saying. But you kind of think, well, what the heck? If I talk about some new sheets to you over the dinner table, then when I go to my computer, I'll get advertisements for sheets straight away, and they've obviously been listening to my conversations and putting up that in advertisements. And it's a whole different world where we don't have the privacy today that we had half a century ago.
So
it's gone.
So is that true? Because I'll tell you, I was having a conversation. A friend of mine who runs a business called me yesterday, and he was going to have a meeting with one of the larger online companies, a company that I worry about their reputation a bit, which is why he asked me what I thought. And I've never engaged with them online because I worry about them. Whilst okay. I was speaking to him on the phone, I looked at my phone, I looked down, and I received an advertisement from them, and I said, no, this is creepy. And I laughed, I said, no, it's gotta be a coincidence. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. It can't be, but I have never received anything from them until I was having this conversation yesterday, and it was virtually immediate. Is that something or not?
We have some proof. We have proof from a court case in America where a bunch of men got together and drank a lot of beer. And in the morning, one of them was found in the swimming pool, in the hot tub, face down, dead, drowned, with a very high blood alcohol level. Now, on one hand, it appeared to be just a stupid, stupid drinking accident, just stupid. But there were possible suspicions that it could have been a murder. And so in the state of Alabama, the state courts forced Amazon to release their recordings. And so this was in 2017, and the court case was in 2019. And in 2019, Amazon released their recordings. What they had was a device called an Amazon Alexa in another room. Right. It wasn't in the room where they were watching the TV, and it was not in the room where the hot tub was. But it was recording away, and the court of Alabama forced Amazon to release the recording, and by listening to the recordings through the whole night. And remember, at no stage had it been switched on with Hey Alexa. They got hold of all of those recordings. And so that's the one single case we have definitely proven in a court of law. We also have so many other anecdotal cases, and they just keep on flooding in. And so you read reports of people whose job it is to listen to the Siri programs on their computer, when you've got Siri on your Apple phone, and they've had to give up because they're just sick of listening to people having sex or having fights with each other. Here's an anecdote which I got firsthand. And so I've got some friends. They're married. They have a dog. The dog is getting old. The dog needs some dental surgery, but it's getting old and it's going to die soon, but it needs some dental surgery. And so they talked about this for two nights at their dinner table. And at no stage did they ever do any searches related to this on their computer. On the third morning, they each started getting, separately, each of them, started getting advertisements for dog dental surgery and for veterinary advertisements for putting down dogs. In the case of my daughter, she was busy chasing up some clothes for a baby shower for a friend of hers. She started getting advertisements as though she was pregnant, and then they then moved into even a year later they were saying, okay, you're pregnant, now it's time to lose some weight. At no stage did she, so there's just so many of these. But remember, all we've got is one hard court case where we know for sure that Amazon Alexa is listening to you even when it's not switched on. We've just got one proven.
Absolutely fascinating. Dr. Carl, it is always wonderful to speak to you, yet this is where we have to live.